the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Johnny Wednesday.
Yay.
Wednesday coming day. Hey, a little over a week from Thanksgiving. How did that happen?
That got here. Really quick.
I know, crazy.
It was just November 1st, I feel like.
Yeah. You know,
you're absolutely right.
Always get Thanksgiving love going back and reading the proclamations by George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. It really sends chills down your spine to know how deeply in gratitude they and the nation are to remember the Lord on this special day. So, in fact, we're remembering today Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. You know, it's our patron today. So let's ask her to pray. Pray with us this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, by whose gift St. Elizabeth of Hungary recognized and revered Christ in the poor, grant through her intercession that we may serve with unfailing charity the needy and those afflicted. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Elizabeth of Hungary,
pray for us.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. We'll learn more about our saint of the day in just a few more minutes. We have your gospel and gospel reflection, but we also have some great guests today. We are joined by Amy Ponson. She is the executive director of the Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana, and we're talking about I Give Catholic, particularly in the Homo-Thibodeau Diocese, and we know that they are in need of a lot of things right now. So Amy's going to give us those details. I Give Catholic is a 24-hour online day of giving, and it's coming up very quickly on Tuesday, November 30th. So stay tuned for that on how you can give back to those who need it in our community. We're joined by Daniel Markham. He's going to talk about his journey, 52 Masses, a year-long trip to experience Catholicism across America.
Wow.
Alicia, do you remember we talked to Daniel?
Yes.
This was before Ida in August when he was about to come to New Orleans. And I said, we're going to get an update in November from you and see how it's happening. So how it's coming along. So he actually has a very interesting update for us. I spoke to him yesterday. So I'm excited to hear about this. And Anthony DiStefano joins us. He has two books coming out just in time for Christmas called The Beggar and the Bluebird and Joseph's Donkey. So I'm excited to talk to Anthony about these two books just in time for the holidays. If you're thinking of gifts to give for the little ones or someone that you love, these are definitely something that you can think about. So it's a great
Gabby, they're both great family reads. So it'll be fun to talk to Anthony about both of them. He's got so many wonderful books out. We'll look forward to talking about those two that have just come out. So, you know, this morning when I was driving in, there was a little bit of low-lying fog. So you'll see that in our listening area. There'll be little patches of morning fog, and it'll quickly burn off. And then we'll have partly cloudy skies is what is expected this afternoon from mid-morning until the afternoon hours. Temperatures will be warm, Gabby. They will be well above the average in the upper 70s and lower 80s. And you may see an isolated shower pop up here or there this afternoon. It is currently mostly cloudy and 64 in New Orleans. In Baton Rouge, it's fair and 56. Biloxi, 67, and our friends in Thibodeau, it is fair and 63 degrees.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for that. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm.
Good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 19. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, 'We do not want this man to be our king.' But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants call to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first one came forward and said, 'Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones.' He replied, 'Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities.' Then the second came and reported, 'Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more.' And to this servant, too, he said, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then the other servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you were a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant.' He said to him, 'With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest.' And to those standing by he said, 'Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, 'Sir, he has 10 gold coins.' He replied, 'I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me.' After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The parable of the 10 gold coins in today's gospel is similar to the parable of the talents reported in Matthew's gospel. The 10 gold coins each had a value equivalent to a working man's wage for 4 months. Jesus used this parable to correct misunderstandings about his enthronement and the establishment of his kingdom. First, the parable hints that Jesus will be enthroned in the heavenly Jerusalem, not in the earthly city. Secondly, it indicates that Jesus will be absent for a time before he returns to judge his enemies and settle accounts with his servant. In this finely developed parable, we can discover 3 layers. First, the historical background recalls how the Herodian rulers, the evil Herod the Great and his degenerate offspring, courted Rome in their lust to gain ruling authority. Local rule, like the high priesthood, had become merely a commodity to be acquired by bribes made to Roman rulers. 2, morally, Jesus emphasized the need of diligence and responsibility. He expects his disciples to be faithful in his absence. Fear and insecurity will not excuse laziness or the lack of productivity. And 3, theologically, Jesus will ascend to the Father to receive his kingdom, not to the earthly Jerusalem. However, he will return in power to judge those who rejected his royal authority. God's judgment on Jerusalem and its temple in 70 AD, when it was destroyed by Roman legions, was a prophetic foreshadowing of Jesus' second coming in glory when he will judge everyone at the end of time. The expression, "slay them before me," in the last verse points to the terrible fall of Jerusalem and the great loss of life that occurred there. The Jewish historian Josephus estimated that 1.2 million Jews died during this Jewish rebellion. May our country repent, lest we suffer a disgraceful collapse. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris, and thank you, Jimmy Sagers. I'm going to follow up on what Jimmy was talking about, guys. You know, if you think about in our gospel, the parable of the 10 coins being the faith in the example that we leave our children and our grandchildren, what are we willing to trade for that? And I'm really moved this week by the first readings. Yesterday we heard about Eleazar, who was being forced to eat pork, and his friend said, just pretend to eat it and then spit it out, you know, and he said, even if I avoid the punishment of men, I can't escape the hands of the Almighty. And he says, I will prove myself worthy of my old age by leaving the young an example of how to live and die generously for God's laws. And then in the first reading today, it's the mother with the seven sons, and she gives them up rather than being forced to eat pork and go against their covenant with God. And she tells them and teaches them the faith and what's worth dying for. And so it's following up what Jimmy's talking about. What are we willing to trade for in our culture, you know, rather than and go against the culture? I mean, as our children age, our grandchildren age, will we bury our faith and just say, sure, there's more than two genders, if you wish, or not teach them about the chastity of marital love? Or how about just leaving God out of Christmas and Thanksgiving altogether, to go along and to be tolerant? Because we have to remember, right, the truth doesn't create division. It's only the rejection of it. And if we reject those truths to our children, or at least bury this faith, we reject the essence of true love, you know, or this concept of diversity that overrides the one source of all of diversity. That's like akin to idolatry almost. So, you know, maybe as we reflect on these things, let's remember, don't we all want to hear those words from our Lord when we enter the heaven? And he says, well done, good servant, you have been faithful, giving us that gold, that treasure, our faith, and to hand that on to our children or grandchildren, in spite of what the world's trying to make us do. That is what we want to hear. Well done, good servant. I want to hear it. I don't know about you guys.
Amen, Johnny. Absolutely. I love that. I love that idea of, you know, of that gold and spreading it and sharing it and multiplying it. You know, and we and I don't know about y'all, but as parents, you know, I think I spend more time, this is a good time to talk to Gary Zimak, but I spend more time worrying about my children's faith life. Then I realize, well, gee, Alicia, you should be praying about it instead of worrying about it, you know?
And the example that you live is just powerful. So, keep it up. St. Elizabeth of Hungary did. We'll be hearing about her next. And then we're going to connect with Amy Ponson with the Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana to hear what's happening, especially in the home of Thibodeau area. So stay with us. It's 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 17th. Today we celebrate St. Elizabeth of Hungary. A queen may be an unlikely person to be known for her love for the poor and suffering, but that's who Elizabeth of Hungary was and why the common people treasured her in 13th century Hungary. The daughter of Hungary's king, Elizabeth was married to Louis Thuringia at age 14. It was a happy union that produced three children. Under the spiritual direction of a Franciscan, she led a life of prayer, sacrifice, and service to the poor and sick. She wore simple clothing and each day fed the hundreds of poor people who came to the royal gates. After 6 years of marriage, Elizabeth lost her husband in the Crusades. Although grief-stricken, Louis's family expelled her from the palace, claiming that she'd squandered Louis's fortune. Eventually restored to her rightful position, she became a secular Franciscan and spent the remaining few years of her short life caring for the poor in a hospital that she founded and dedicated to St. Francis. Elizabeth died in 1231 before her 24th birthday and was canonized 4 years later. She is the patron of Catholic charities and of the secular Franciscan order. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Abair. And joining us over the phone is Amy Ponson. Amy is the Executive Director of the Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. And today we're talking about I Give Catholic. We've been talking about it for quite some time on Wake Up, and it's a very important day for a lot of organizations. And Amy's going to tell us all about it. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Gabby. How are you?
I am doing great. It's so crazy to believe that Thanksgiving is next week. I Give Catholic is just days away. So for those who aren't familiar or who haven't heard about it or want a little recap, tell us about the importance of I Give Catholic.
Sure, absolutely. I Give Catholic is an amazing 24-hour online giving day, giving people across not just our local area, but across the country to truly come together as one Catholic community and give Catholic to their favorite entities, whether that's a church parish or a school or perhaps even a nonprofit that they're passionate about. Our diocese, along with several across the state of Louisiana, have been participating in I Give Catholic for some time. This is actually our diocesan sixth year participating in I Give Catholic. So everyone knows the famous Black Friday, then that Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and once you're finished getting all the gifts for your family, then there's Giving Tuesday, that Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which is exactly when I Give Catholic is on Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely, and we're already in the advanced giving, so if you tell us a little bit about what exactly that means, the advanced giving time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, most people are living, if anyone is like me, just living a very busy life. And sometimes we forget to do things on specific days. So we open up the opportunity to do advanced day giving ahead of time for those folks that just want to go ahead and schedule their gift, take a look at those nonprofits and the projects that are happening across their diocese and schedule their gift to go directly to their nonprofit of choice. As you mentioned, it actually... Advanced Day Giving started this past Monday, November 15th, and will continue until the Monday before Giving Tuesday. Between now and November 30th, people have the opportunity to go online at igivecatholic.org, search their diocese or their favorite ministry, and take a look at their project that they're doing. That's, you know, one of the most successful parts that I have seen in our diocese for I Give Catholic has been the fact that people love to give to a project or an entity that's doing something very specific. So I Give Catholic gives these ministries a platform to talk about what their project is, whether that's, you know, replacing a roof or redoing the lighting inside the church. It's very tangible, something that people can get around and get excited about. And that they can wrap their mind around and want to give and to be part of their Catholic community.
One of my favorite projects that I've heard with I Give Catholic is I think one parish in the Archdiocese of New Orleans was needing lights for their parking lot, and another parish was needing the parishioners wanted a bathroom in the back of church. I guess they had to go to another building. A lot of the buildings are so old in New Orleans, sometimes you have to go to another building to even use the facilities. But that, and they got their restroom because of the donations through I Give Catholic. You know, I think that's so important. But Amy, okay, so you're in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. We've been talking to Lonnie Thibodeau about Hurricane Ida relief. We've talked to Bishop Faw multiple times about that. How important is I Give Catholic this giving day for your diocese?
Well, the last 75 plus days have really just been very brutal for our local community. We took the brunt of Hurricane Ida, and the storm just sat right over us, the eye of the storm. So many of our buildings and our facilities, from not just church parishes, but so many of our schools, have been either damaged in some way or displaced in some way. So I Give Catholic this year, a lot of our ministries are focusing their energy and effort to do humanitarian relief. We're working very closely with our insurance and FEMA claims. So not as much as our building needs, as much as we are focusing on the people. When we think of a diocese, and I love it when Bishop Bob says this because it's so true, our diocese isn't our building. Our diocese are the people. Yes. So for the past 75 days, our churches and our schools have been focused so much and so heavily on restoring the community around us, the people around us. So a lot of our ministries are focusing on feeding, you know, their local community or the humanitarian outreach aspect of Hurricane Ida relief. And we know that that's going to be important, not just for today, but long into the future. We have a long road of recovery ahead of us. So I Give Catholic today allows everyone from across the country to be able to support dioceses and our specific diocese in our Ida relief, that people of every make and size and every capacity, which is another reason I love I Give Catholic so much. You don't have to be the most affluent person out there. If everyone mm-hmm. gave what they could of their prayers or their monetary gift, you know, the smallest gift online can be $20, which so many of us can do. If everyone did their little small part, can you imagine what we as a diocese, we as a community could be able to do with everyone coming together in one day? And we've seen it, Gabby. We've seen it year after year. As I mentioned, this is our sixth year. Our diocese with every year, 2,000 plus people. I mean, just last year, we raised right over $900,000. And over the past 5 years, we're about to break $2 million to put back into our community. So we know this year is going to be more important than ever just because of Ida. But we just can't wait to be part of this national day.
Absolutely. Can you give us some participating ministries? What are they looking for? Just some ideas for those who are like, hey, where do I start? Because there's a plethora of churches, schools, and nonprofits participating.
Absolutely. So the first place to start is to go visit igivecatholic.org and search your specific diocese. So someone goes to our diocese, the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, they can look for their specific church or parish. But some of the notable ones that I've seen creatively are St. Lucie's Daycare. You know, St. Lucie's Daycare had some damage to their playground, but unfortunately, after Ida, their actual playground equipment was then stolen. So they are trying to replace their playground equipment for those sweet, beautiful children at St. Lucie's Daycare. Then St. Francis de Sales Elementary School, unfortunately, last year they had a shooting a couple blocks away from the school. So they're looking at adding security cameras to ensure the safety of their children. So extremely important, extremely important to keep our beautiful kids safe. But, you know, from those types of projects to feeding the hungry, I believe St. Elwha is looking at doing some holiday food drive. So feeding the community in Dulac or Ontario, with food, doing food drives down there. And some of the humanitarian relief through Catholic Charities, that's one of our massive, major projects happening right now. They're working on mucking and gutting homes and need some supplies to be able to continue their efforts. So that's, you know, something very tangible for people to understand. You know, since Ida, they've been able to muck and gut a number of homes helping families, and they just need some additional supplies and equipment to get that done and to do it efficiently. There's so many to choose from. I definitely say start with your diocese and go down from there. But they're all on their landing page of exactly what it is, with beautiful pictures and explaining what their projects are individually.
Absolutely. And we cannot forget to the people of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux who are still in need of these funds as well. But it's amazing to see every year the more dioceses that are participating. I mean, we have listeners on the Texas state line. The Diocese of Beaumont is participating. Yeah. We have Lafayette, Diocese of Biloxi and Mobile. So take a look at that. Obviously, the Archdiocese of New Orleans and the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So take a look at that, igivecatholic.org. Amy Ponson, Executive Director of the Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana. Any last minute, requests or anything else you'd like to say? I highly encourage our listeners to really take a look at the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux's page on this Giving Day.
I appreciate that, Gabby. The one thing that I think we should all ask is just for everyone across the country and in our local communities, just to first and foremost to pray. To pray for not only our diocese, but dioceses everywhere, your specific diocese and those bishops and those pastors. Your prayers mean the world to us. Your prayers are what make everything happen. And then if they're able to financially make a contribution, whether that's directly online on iGive Catholic Giving Day, or directly to your parish for their iGive Catholic project. Those are the two things that right now I think our churches and our parishes need more than anything: prayers and those contributions. Just thank you from the bottom of our heart for thinking about Homa Thibodeau and Bishop Fobb and all the people of our community. We just greatly appreciate everything that you do for us, and your prayers mean the world.
Absolutely. Thinking about you guys from day one. Amy Ponson, thank you so much. You can count on our prayers on this Giving Day. But igivecatholic.org, you can donate now at igivecatholic. But remember the Giving Day, Tuesday, November 30th. Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Gabby. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Absolutely. It's such a wonderful time of the year. And of course, like she said, after you get those great deals on Cyber Monday and you feel really, really good because you got that air fryer that you've always wanted, then you can go and donate igivecatholic.org and to take a look at that. But when we come back from the break, we're going to get an update from Daniel Markham on 52 Masses, a year-long trip to experience Catholicism across America. I think it's going to be a great update. It is 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. One suit against a Biden White House OSHA vaccine mandate before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is becoming a consolidated case before the Sixth Circuit. Besides conscience objections to vaccines derived from abortion biotech, critics of the mandate say the White House is making up federal powers, one of the problems that even abortion-friendly jurists have had with Roe v. Wade is that it federalizes action that belongs to states in the absence of distinct action by Congress. It is that states' powers idea that puts abortion and federal vaccination efforts into similar legal ground. The annual Americans United for Life state ranking is out. The state that scored the highest is Arkansas, with 16 new laws protecting life from conception to natural death. Rounding out the top five were Louisiana, Arizona, Oklahoma, and Indiana. Two states with the most improvement were Texas and Montana. Texas jumped past eight states to number 12. Montana moved 11 spots to number 32. This is Life News Radio. News at Life News Radio should make you think, and often it should make you think about calling your elected officials in Washington, D.C. So remember this phone number, 202-224-3121. Let your senators, your representatives, hear from you. 202-224-3121. Tim Graham of the Media Research Center helps explain why media reports that ordinary Catholics support abortion are easily understood. Polls show a strong majority of those who say they go to church oppose abortion. Those who actually do go to church likely oppose abortion even more. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is time to wake up on a gorgeous Wednesday morning. 17th of November, just a little over a week away from Thanksgiving, but we are a Eucharistic people. We're used to giving thanks. I'm Johnny Hebert with you this morning with Gabby Smith and Alicia Kibito. Oh, and talking about leaving examples. We're really excited this morning to catch up with Daniel Markham. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear you. Gosh, we've all been looking forward to catching up with you since we, I guess it was August, right, when we last talked?
I think so, yeah. I think it was August, yeah.
Yeah, but so just a little bit of background for those who aren't familiar. So you're a writer and a Catholic, and from what we understand, those two facts somehow collided to send you on a journey across America. So first, tell us about how that calling came.
And that's very much what it was. I was simply dropped off my youngest son at school 5 years ago, and kind of the Holy Spirit planted this idea in my head to attend Mass all over the country, all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico, and just write about something at each parish. And the further along I've gone, the more clear that indeed that's exactly what this is, that this is where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing, because just the the blessings I've gotten, the graces I've received as a result of this, and the people that I've met whose stories really need to be told, just makes it clear that I'm just being pointed in this direction, and I'm fortunately not resisting.
So we understand. Well, you started in June, right? And this is a 2-year journey. So just so far, I mean, give us a hint. Where have you been, and where are you planning on going? And also, how do you decide, you know, which parishes to see?
So I've been to 21 parishes so far, or parishes or something similar to a parish, depending on the location. I decided it was very there wasn't a lot of art to it. I sent out emails to basically all the parishes in the country with email addresses and said, this is what I'm doing. If you have something at your parish that you think would make a good addition to the book, let me know. And so I've got some really wonderful responses. And so I just tried to balance out the types of stories that I was going to write. So in some cases I might do a ministry, in some cases I might do an evangelization effort. I might do touch on history or just an individual has a really inspiring story. So I just really tried to get a good mix of stories that tell a full picture of Catholic life in the United States.
Yeah, I'm curious. You mentioned a book, but also understand that there's a way to keep up with what you're doing. So how are you chronicling this as you go?
And can people
join in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a website that 52masses.com, as well as for anyone who's on Facebook, there's which actually probably works a little better because it's more interactive. So if you you can come on and you can like the posts or, you know, you can follow along and kind of be updated when I add something new. So I really just try to touch on a little bit, run some photos, because otherwise there won't be photos in the book. So this is a nice way to get some photos along with just a little description of my most recent trip. So it's not really going in depth into the story I'll be telling at each place, just a little bit more, some photos and some anecdotes of my experiences along the way. So, just going to keep people, up to date on what's going on.
Great. And we are talking with Daniel Markham, his journey with 52 Masses, a year-long trip to experience Catholicism across America. And Daniel, I'm dying to hear about just give us something that really jumped out at you, a single story, a single person that you've come across that just was a real surprise, maybe a turner for you.
I would say the one instance that really surprised me was I was in North Dakota at St. Gianna's Maternity Home, which is a home for young women they don't actually necessarily have to be young, but women who are at risk, who come from, typically come from difficult circumstances. And so the home takes them in, and they can stay there both through pregnancy and up to 2 years after. So where they can learn to be mothers in a faith-filled environment. And I was there for an entire weekend, and so I met some of the house mothers, and there was a young mother who was staying there, and they allowed me to speak to virtually everyone, to interview them for my book. And this young mother and I were engaged in an interview. I was asking her about her experiences, her very difficult upbringing and environment that she'd grown up in, and really just didn't have a lot of people in her life that she could trust. And so after a while, we were interviewing, and then we were interrupted, and I thought, oh, this is a decent time we can break. And she slammed the door. She said, no, we need to talk some more. And then she spent the next, 15, 20 minutes asking me questions about being married for 20 plus years, about being a father, about how one trusts, how one keeps from getting. So all of these questions about how she could be, she aspired to, she wanted to be a good mother, and she wanted to be a wife, and she wanted to have a family that she never really had before. And she saw me as someone who, a man who was in a healthy Catholic marriage with, three excellent, grown children, and she just saw an opportunity to kind of pick my brain and ask me questions, which I never imagined that I might have an opportunity to, you know, to not just chronicle what I saw, but to actually participate in, you know, the development of this young woman and the hope that she has for her life as, you know, as a mother and a father. That it was just, it was beyond anything I expected, but it was just a wonderful feeling to think that I might actually help a little bit on an individual level.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna ask you. You know, I know when you started, you had some things that you were perhaps hoping to find, and probably looking back now, how that's changed. But that certainly has got to be one of them. Sounds like you're being chronicled in some kind of way. So, talk about that. What you were hoping versus what you're finding, and then also the effect on your family. I'm curious about that.
What I was hoping. I mean, just, you know, obviously, I think there are two separate, like, reasons for this. You know, on the one hand, you know, I want to write this book and I want to tell these stories about, you know, people and hopefully bring our faith in a good light and inspire people in that way. But, you know, the secondary aim was that I wanted to come back a better Catholic, a better husband, a better father, a better person altogether. And, I feel, obviously, whether I'm a better, any of those things is really for someone else to judge. Right. But I do feel different. I do feel I feel calmer. I feel more at ease. I feel, you know, particularly when I travel, I just feel a sense of peace about everything that... that's telling me that, you know, that this is having the desired effect on me. As for my family, that's a good question. My wife, I can't say enough about my wife's patience and understanding on, you know, allowing me to do this, you know, because it takes me away from, you know, from home on weekends, you know, frequently. And, you know, my wife is a Catholic school principal, so she's been involved in, you know, in kind of the, in building the faith among our young people for 15, 16 years. She certainly is, understanding of what I'm doing.
She'll expect the book for sure. Real quick, Daniel, website again, so we can keep up with you.
Yeah, it's just 52masters.com. And I try to stay as somewhat up to date at it. And then also, like, on Facebook, it's also 52masters. So if you just type either of those places, you should be able to find it. And
thank you, Daniel. Safe journeys.
Good morning. It's 7:48. Thank you so much for joining us on Catholic Community Radio. You are listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert on this beautiful Wednesday morning, the 17th of November already. We're joined this morning by Anthony DeStefano. He is a best-selling author of over 25 Christian books for children and adults. His books have been published in 18 different countries in 12 different languages. And he has not one, but two brand new children's books we'd love to visit with him about this morning. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you back with us. Two books that came out on the same day.
Yep, they did.
That's wonderful. They're published by Sophia Institute Press. Let's start off by talking about The Beggar and the Bluebird.
Sure. Well, both of these are Christmas stories. You can never have enough Christmas stories that talk about the true meaning of Christmas. That's my philosophy, and that's why they came out at the same time. The Beggar and the Bluebird is kind of a modern-day fairy tale, Christian fairy tale, in the tradition of Hans Christian Andersen and the Grimm Brothers and those early Disney movies. It tells the story of a little bird whose flight southward for the winter keeps getting delayed because of the strange requests of a local street beggar.
Yes.
The beggar asked the bird to fly on these various errands of mercy for him, delivering bread to a homeless man and mudding to a widow with children and a gold cross to a sick boy in the hospital. Anyway, as a result of performing these acts of kindness, the bluebird gets caught in a winter blizzard, a big snowstorm, and all seems lost for him until a surprise ending, which I think we could reveal here, shows that the beggar is not really a beggar, but is an angel of God.
What a beautiful story. And the bluebird is hesitant just because he knows that he's already pushed his limit and needs to get south for the winter. What a beautiful story. You know, Anthony, I love that your stories start with a Bible verse to tie into the story. So can you share a little bit about what is on the opening page of The Beggar and the Bluebird?
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's from Matthew 25.
Yes.
You know, whatever you did for the least of one of my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that's a hint that this book is really about, it's an introduction in a general way to children of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Mm-hmm. And really, at its heart, the book is an introduction to the true meaning of love, which is self-giving and sacrifice. Children and adults too, we have a problem sharing. We have a problem giving ourselves and giving ourselves away. And meanwhile, that's the true meaning of Christmas. It's the true meaning of gift giving, and it's the true meaning of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Love is the most abused, confused, misused word in the English language, and what it really means is to give of oneself. And this little bird in this story, that's what he does. He has to face danger, and he has to sacrifice himself to give the hope of to give the gift of hope to others.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, the second book that just came out, also published by Sophia Institute Press, is Joseph's Donkey. What a precious story. Tell us about that. First of all, I want to, before we get into the story, I love the book dedication that you have in the front of this book.
I dedicate it to St. Joseph,
yes.
and I explain, I mean, in my dedication, I say that he's the, you know, the patron of the Universal Church, the husband of Our Lady, the foster father of our Lord, the protector of the Holy Family. I mean, you can't get much of a more important saint than St. Joseph, and yet there are so few books about him and very few children's books. So I wanted to try my hand at writing a children's book that introduced kids to this heroic saint.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. So tell our listeners a little bit about Joseph's Donkey.
Sure. It's about Joseph's Donkey is about a donkey purchased by St. Joseph shortly before his marriage to Our Lady. The donkey naturally helps Joseph in his carpentry business, hauling stones and wood. But because of the time in history he's living, he also plays a key role in all the major events recorded in the infancy narratives of the Gospels. So he takes Mary to Bethlehem, where she gives birth to Jesus. He takes the Holy Family to Egypt to flee from the evil King Herod. And later on, he takes the Holy Family to Jerusalem, where the 12-year-old Jesus is lost in the temple and then found again. So this is a way of introducing kids to all these famous Bible stories, including the Nativity, the first Christmas, and a way to introduce children to St. Joseph, because the book really is about St. Joseph, even though it's told through the eyes of a donkey.
Yes, yes. And it's a wonderful book. I love that the way that you've written it with a rhyming to it. But what struck me when I read this book was the very beginning when you say, Joseph, always kind, always fair-hearted, hardly said a word, always fair, hardly said a word. He worked, prayer, and silence. And then he finds this donkey who has these similar characteristics. He describes the donkey as silent, brave, strong, beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It was hard to come up with a story about St. Joseph because, you know, there's not one single word recorded by St. Joseph in Scripture.
Yeah.
He's totally silent. We see him doing all kinds of things, and we know he spoke, but Scripture doesn't record anything he said. So if I'm going to be a good Christian Catholic writer, I don't like to put words into the mouth of St. Joseph that he didn't speak. But on the other hand, if I create a fictional donkey, I can make him say and do anything I want. And in this book, the donkey is a mirror image of the saint. Say,
beautiful.
The donkey is humble. The donkey is quiet. The donkey is a hard worker. He protects the Holy Family. All these things are characteristics of Saint Joseph.
Yeah, so precious, and precious when the donkey meets Our Lady. Such a beautiful, beautiful image and beautiful encounter between the two of them.
Yes, well, of course, he's a mirror image of St. Joseph, so of course he would fall in love with Our Lady. Who wouldn't fall in love with Our Lady?
That's right. That's right. Anthony DiStefano, tell us where we can get copies of both of your new books, The Beggar and the Bluebird and Joseph's Donkey.
Well, I'm very blessed. My books are all around. They're at Catholic bookstores everywhere. They're at regular bookstores if you can get to them. They're on Amazon. They're in all the major Catholic catalogs and EWTN, Priest for Life, and they're pretty much all over the place. So I've been very, very fortunate in my writing life.
That's beautiful. And they're published by Sophia Institute Press, another place that you can go.
That's right. But you get a mic from them.
That's right. And as Anthony mentioned, visit your local Catholic bookstore this Christmas. If they don't have it on the shelf, I'm sure that they can get it for you. Anthony, such a pleasure to have you. Check him out. You can also check out his website. What beautiful books, so many wonderful books, both for children and adults. Such a pleasure to have you this morning. Wishing you and your family a happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You have to check that out, everyone. So Gabby will put that link in our Facebook live feed in the comment section. But precious, precious books, so beautifully illustrated, but so meaningful and wonderful for children. But you know, they're great family reads too.
Yes.
They are. Yeah. My grandkids brought the story of the ox in the Mass Sunday. So good way to share the faith.
I think they need these two new ones, Johnny.
Yes. That's on my list.
There you go.
Well, you know, speaking of St. Joseph, let's call upon St. Joseph on this day. And gosh, the prayer fits what Anthony shared so well. And we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed Joseph, husband of Mary, be with us this day, for you protected and cherished the Virgin, loving the child Jesus as your son. You rescued him from danger of death. Defend the church, the household of God, purchased by the blood of Christ. Guardian of the Holy Family, be with us in our trials. May your prayers obtain for us the strength to flee from error and to wrestle with the powers of corruption, so that in life we may grow in holiness, and in death, rejoice in the crown of victory. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Saint Joseph,
pray for us
and protect us.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.